Welcome to Future Pulse, a podcast series brought to you by IPI, your innovation partner for impact. Together, we will explore how ideas, creativity, and collaboration drive impactful innovation. Welcome to our first episode of Future Pulse, open for innovation. I'm Yvonne Chan, and I'm joined by Dr. Zee Tiam Lin, the Head of Innovation and Technology at IPI, and David Jakubowicz, Senior Director, R&D Open Innovation Asia at Procter & Gamble. Welcome, Dr. Zee and David. Collaboration and innovation, they're must-haves for businesses to move forward and grow. So let's look at the opportunities that open innovation provides to enterprises. And we also want to find out more about what IPI has done to help enterprises innovate to become industry game changers. So first question, what does open innovation mean to you and what does it entail? I want to come to you first, Dr. Zee, because you've mentioned before that IPI hopes to drive more open innovation, the idea that companies should leverage on external ideas to fuel their growth. So has that definition changed in the past year?
Thank you, Yvonne, for this opportunity to share this podcast, our first podcast, and also in celebration of our 10th anniversary. And nice to see David together with me in this session. Coming back to the question of open innovation, it is really sort of getting company to look at the purposeful inflow and outflow of ideas to accelerate the company's innovation. By means of inflow, we are getting company to embrace external ideas or partnerships to sort of complement their existing, development product and service innovation.
And what about the outflow portion, Dr. Zee?
Oh, this is a very interesting play where company has developed ideas or technology and perhaps they can expand new markets by external partners who can use it better, to create that opportunity.
So inflow and outflow, like you said, it's two halves to this concept. Thanks, Dr. Zee. David, 15 years ago, P&G coined the term connect plus develop to drive innovation, capability, and output by better connecting to people and companies outside P&G. How has that evolved, David?
Great question. Yeah, connect and develop is our brand of open innovation. So I'll use the term open innovation from now on. And really over that time, I think there've been three evolutions. The first one is, and it comes back to what Dr. Zee was saying, it's now become part of our mindset, part of our culture, that we look outside. We embrace the possibilities of going outside. And it's the role of every individual. It's not just a few specialists in the organization who are doing that. Second piece is we're then focusing and bringing open innovation to help us on our ever more challenging and demanding innovation problems that we're trying to solve, such that all of our brands, all of our big innovations have external partners they can work with to help solve them. And thirdly, I think we've evolved from relationships which are one-on-one, so P&G with one partner, now into P&G working with networks and ecosystems.
So I'm hearing this open innovation, part of that three-pointer. One of them is open innovation is part of a mindset to look outside the organization. So what are the elements then of good open innovation in today's context? I think that's quite a broad question, but I would want to ask you both to narrow it down to some key essentials. Does open innovation mean you have to be sustainable? It has to be relevant, Dr. Zee?
Oh, thank you very much. If I've been thinking alongside, and I think in the early conversation with David, it's really perhaps 5C, bring back that okay. Conversation. We're quite used to 5C. I think there's a cultural part. David, please feel free to add. There's a cultural part, and I believe there's a capability. While you might have the culture to embrace external or internal ideas out, it is also the capability to do that. And then we talk about the third C could be connectivity, being able to connect to extensive and global network. And of course, collaborations, I believe that's important. And I'm sure David will add more on the complementing and contribution part of, developing a sustainable open innovation culture.
Culture, connectivity, collaboration. David?
I think the piece I'd build on that is for that collaboration to be successful, you need to have a common goal. I'm building on the theme of the C's here, maybe. Having a common goal that both parties are then working towards, because one of the differences with open innovation versus internal innovation is you're working for different organizations. So it's not always as immediately obvious what success looks like for both parties. Yeah. But if you can get to that common goal and you're working towards the same end, I think that's a critical element to then enabling the complementary capabilities and the other factors that Dr. Z talked about to then come to bear, and you're directing them towards a mutual common goal where both parties will then win.
Absolutely. It's about working towards that common goal and keeping those five C's in mind, right? Culture, connectivity, collaborations, complementary contributions, and capabilities. I got that right, didn't I, gentlemen? Gentlemen, why is open innovation then critical to a business success and scalability? Dr. Z.
That's a very good question. I think in this very challenging time, again, you know, by the pandemic and for many businesses, particularly SME, I think the competition is getting very steep, and I think they really have to enhance their product, refresh their product to continue to stay competitive in a very fast changing world that they live. So if they take on the previous attempt to create everything themselves, it may take much longer and perhaps miss the opportunity. So the importance of being able to embrace external ideas and partners to accelerate, I think, is more critical than ever.
Especially when the competition is getting so intense. David, do you want to build on that too?
Yeah, I'll build on that. Let me bring the sort of consumer lens to it, because I'm in a business that's consumer goods. Yeah, and really, as I look at it, the consumer has plenty of choice now. When you go down the shopping aisle or you're shopping online, huge amount of choice and variety you've got. So how do I make sure that the choices they're making are choices to use and buy our products and rebuy them the next time, as opposed to the competitors? And I think that the premise of how you succeed doing that is through innovation. So if you do want to succeed, then innovation is required. And then if you assume, therefore, innovation is required, well, the next logical step is let me then bring in others to help better innovate to serve those consumers. And then you get towards open innovation, which enables you then to sustain your innovation, serve the consumers, and win versus competition.
So, David, can you cite some examples then on that note of how open innovation has contributed to a business's success and scalability?
Great question, and I could probably give you many, so I hope I don't bore you. But let me pick one here, which is maybe got several assets to it.
Okay.
Not necessarily to suggest that you need to look at one with so many facets, but just to give insights into different types of open innovation that can exist. And the example here is our laundry pods, aerial or Tide pods, where you've got a single unit dose laundry product you put in your washing machine, takes care of the load for you, brings it out beautifully clean, and is a very simple and convenient way to do that. So to achieve that, there were three challenges we had. One was we needed to get to this super concentrated surfactant in the pod. There, we then worked with academia to help us better understand how do these very concentrated surfactants work. So we had to collaborate with academia. We also then had to make sure that the consumer would adopt this new habit and that we could design for them. So we wanted consumer-centric design. There we went off and actually did crowdsourcing, working with consumers and agencies that enabled us to use this new way of engaging with consumers through crowdsourcing. So that's a different type of example. And a third one would be in the films that we've designed to hold this liquid, which have to work through the manufacturing process, but then rupture in use in the washing machine. So it breaks very quickly and washes your clothes. And there we had to do a lot of work developing with the film manufacturers and the engineering suppliers who made the equipment to let us make the pods. So sort of different levels of innovation, depending on the type of unit, you pick a different partner.
So many facets to this, to make this work. My goodness, I never knew I needed a laundry pod in my life. You know, I would be one of your very willing end users. So I want to circle back now to Dr. Z, and I want you to tell us more about how the role of IPI then has evolved over the years. Instead of just simply matching and linking potential partners, what is IPI doing to encourage more companies to create new products and solutions for efficiency and impact? Because I just want to take this opportunity to quote one of my favorite authors, Simon Sinek. And he says, to be innovative, we can't look to what others have done. And the whole idea of blazing a path is that there was no path there before. So how do you encourage more companies to create from scratch?
Thanks for that question. And when I was just hearing to David, I really feel so envious, you know, like corporates like P&G have the resources, the culture, the means to be able to find partners to accelerate. And certainly not for SME. And this is where it's kind of a spot that IPI been set up 10 years ago to do that, to help SME to look outside on themselves, you know, from a culture perspective. And having that desire is how to. And that's where IPI was set up to provide platform and services to help company, you know, get connected to the right partners after understanding, you know, their innovation needs or technology requirements, helping them to find the partners, helping to facilitate that discussion, because collaboration, there's always the treatment of ideas and foreground ideas, background ideas, and get them moving along to other partners who could accelerate that innovation. So that's something we complement to help enterprise in their open innovation journey.
I see. So a lot of facilitation of discussions and accelerating that progression towards innovation for many of our SMEs.
Yes.
When it comes to collaborating for innovation, though, what should companies look out for in terms of the fit? I know, David, you for P&G, you've worked with so many partners on different levels. How do you identify synergy with another company?
Great question. And for that one, I think it comes back to some of the topics we touched on earlier, some of the C's. I think some of it starts with identifying common purpose, common goals, and then are there complementary capabilities, we talked about that, yeah, which both parties then have, that when you bring them together would enable those two parties to deliver solutions and new innovation beyond what either could do by themselves against that common goal.
So identifying the common goals and those complementary capabilities. Can you tell us a bit more then about the A-Star P&G collaboration?
Yeah, I can bring it to life maybe in the context of what we do with A-Star. So let me start maybe with P&G and what we can bring, yeah? Because if we don't bring anything to the partner, yeah, they're not going to want to work with us. So, but I think what we can bring is, and this is what industry brings, is real life tough problems, yeah? Really challenging, complex problems that, if solved, could make a difference. Because if we solve them, then we can serve the consumers. And through serving the consumers, P&G then creates some growth. But we can also serve the consumers and the communities in which they work and the ecosystems which within which play and where we're making the products. So that's what we can bring to it, along with the capabilities we have. So as we work with A-Star, we've got an innovation center, and I'm very fortunate, as Dr. Z was saying, to be part of almost a 500-strong innovation center we have here in Singapore, almost 500 scientists and engineers, tremendous capability across our beauty care, oral care, personal health care, and some other categories. And then we can bring that capability then to A-Star and the problems, and then see what they've got that's complementary. And they have tremendous research, talent, equipment, and capability that they can bring then to help us better understand our problems and then better solve those problems. And they also share the mutual goal where they want to use, in effect, the taxpayers' money, because they're a government entity, yeah, then to get a return on the research investment they're making and have some impact from that for society. So that's where the mutual goals come in and the complementary capabilities. And we've got then tremendous successes we've been having with A-Star across a range of areas that are important to them on sustainability, health and wellness, the application of digital technologies, manufacturing supply chain innovation, just to name a few.
That's a fantastic example, really. A great illustration of how mutual goals, having common mutual goals, can really play a part in helping both companies, one from the research perspective and R&D perspective, and one from the consumer side also, achieve so much more than what you could achieve individually. So how can we get more companies, gentlemen, to embrace this concept of open innovation, to look outside of the organization and also get over some of the challenges of this journey, because it's not an easy one? Dr. Z.
Yes, this is a good question. And in fact, this has been what we aspire to do at IPI. So we have, through various platforms, reach out to companies, whether it be our innovation marketplace, sending out regular information feed on the innovation opportunity as well as the need to get company respond. I know David always look quite excitedly to my Wednesday alerts that we send out to you, you know. So that's through our online platform that we reach out to the masses. We run physical event, Tech Innovation. We'll be having our 10th edition of Tech Innovation in September 28th to 30th. And this is a physical event, or it used to be, but of course this year go digital, to sort of reach out also to sort of, you know, share success stories, share how people do it. So, and getting company to share even SME, their journey, so that people feel that, hey, it is doable, why not? So online and offline as a strategy to reach out to the enterprise.
Lots going on in that space, Dr. Z. David, can you share with us too, from an MNC perspective, how we can get more companies to embrace the concept of OI?
Yeah, I think Dr. Z was talking about one piece where they've really got a unique role to play. And that's what I think Singapore is lucky with IPI and some other agencies focused on innovation. It's the how to, yeah? Because while you need the right mindset, yeah? And leadership need to then be setting expectations and rewarding and sharing the risk of doing it, because innovation always has risk, yeah? So there is risk associated with. So while leadership can do that and individuals can take that on board and want to do it, you also need to equip them with the tools and the approaches so that they know how to go about doing it. The coach, if you like, if you make that an analogy to kind of sporting. So IPI are a tremendous coach. And then the other piece I think that's important is to get some early wins, yeah? So you don't want to be, if we take this analogy of sport, you don't want to keep running in the races and always coming last. You want to get some early wins, yeah? So enter some races where you can get some early success, build your confidence, get some return on that investment that your leadership has had the confidence to put into you, yeah? And then it starts to grow. And others also start to see the success you're having and they want more of it. And then starts to snowball.
On that concept of race, that's a really nice segue, I think, to come to my next question. Because, Dr. Z, I've been seeing a lot of competitions. They have and are being rolled out to encourage more companies to innovate via different tracks. So, like David said, it's not about waiting till you reach the end of the track, but maybe those small little wins, right? So tell us more about the relevance of the, you know, the Sustainability OI Challenge. And then we have also other challenges that are coming up this year.
Yeah, thank you very much. In fact, this is another platform we kind of reach out to get more companies to participate in co-innovation. And one approach is we reach major corporates who would like to share their challenge problem, problem statements, and we help to understand them, particularly in the sustainability space like packaging or related, more greener kind of technology and products and services. So we get those challenges, we reach out to industry to invite them to co-innovate.
Well, how can we ensure that the incubation for innovation, though, also delivers long-term value and returns for stakeholders? How can we get to commercialization more quickly? I think that's a concern for many businesses, that they're spending too much time and resources on the R&D bit and not making money quick enough. David?
Well, I would argue that's what open innovation can enable you to do, because by bringing in other parties who've got these complementary capabilities, you can accelerate your path to market. And if I take a reasonably trivial example, but if you've got a new technology that's working in the lab, but you haven't got the manufacturing capability and assets and capital installed to enable you to make it, well, rather than build it yourself, why don't you see who has got something that can do it, or something similar that could do it much more quickly with lower capital than you can, so it accelerates you to market. Or if you've got a technology but you haven't got a brand, you haven't got the sales capability, the scale to do that, okay, could you license that then? And P&G will, and then in-license technologies that we're able to bring some of our assets and capabilities to. So I think actually, if you view open innovation as an accelerator, by bringing in those capabilities and assets from others, it enables you to get the return more quickly. Albeit you share that with the partners, but then you together, you're looking to make the size of the prize even bigger so that you both get a win out of this. And by bringing those complementary capabilities, you can dream even bigger, get to markets you couldn't consider, geographies you couldn't consider, trade channels you couldn't have considered alone.
Yeah, dreaming even bigger with open innovation. I like that. Dr. Z, you agree?
Yes.
a very resounding yes there. So what do you have to say then to those who believe that, who still believe that innovation lies in the exclusive domain of large MNCs with billion-dollar R&D budgets? That's too old school thinking now, right, with open innovation, because then you can partner with others with the right capabilities and resources who can propel your innovation journey. Gentlemen? Maybe David, you go first.
I think some areas where we're certainly seeing that myth dispelled, yeah, is in the areas where the technologies are moving so rapidly and being applied in different ways, digital being a great example. Yeah. You know, the application of digital technologies then into MNCs. You know, we've been working with small companies, startups who are helping us develop what we call advisors. So we have an Olay advisor where it, through your smartphone, takes an image of your face, analyzes that image, and helps become your coach to then help you figure out how do you then improve the appearance of your skin based upon the analysis it's done of your the current state of your skin. And we were partnering then with partners. That's not a core capability we've historically had in the digital space with smartphones, but we have had tremendous capability on the creams, the skincare, the technology on anti-aging, anti-wrinkle, uneven skin tone, bringing those all together then. So open innovation then enables the combination of both what big MNCs can play, but also getting into more disruptive breakthrough innovations.
And if I may add as well an example, perhaps more as well, we had the opportunity at IPI to work with a company called Martex International. They are SME that sort of provide textile chemical to many parts of the textile industry. And years ago, we had the opportunity to encourage them to embrace a new idea in the treatment of waste discharge. Now, the dye textiles chemical discharge is not so straightforward because of the chemical content, but working with then the NUS team, they are able to develop very sensitive membrane to treat waste discharge. And I think they have plowed in so much, and I think soon they'll be, you know, launching a new system to be able to treat waste discharge for textile chemical. That's a new business to them altogether. So yes, working with SMEs, not just corporates, that can embrace new innovations to create new business growth.
Some really excellent examples from the both of you there to dispel the myth, like David said, about, you know, R&D or innovation still remaining very much in the domains of large MNCs. That's too old school thinking already. Gentlemen, any final words of advice then for companies who have yet to embark on a journey of open innovation, they have still have too many concerns? What would you say to them today?
Maybe two pieces. You know, start with ambition to do something that really matters, because if it really matters to you and to your business, it's probably also then going to matter to others. So you can inspire then people to come join you to solve that problem, you know, whether it be a sustainability challenge, because these are big problems people care about and they want to then come and work with you to try and solve them. So that would be one piece. And the second bit is then think right from the start, how do I set it up that every party who takes part in this wins? Yeah. So that when you're going through the pain and the difficulty of innovation, because it's not always easy, you'll stumble, you'll fall, yeah, but you want everybody to get back up again. You got to make sure that everybody is working towards something they really care about, and that they know when they do deliver it, they're going to win as a result.
Thank you, David. I really like that. And but you to get there, you need to make sure you have the right leadership too then.
Yes, we talked on that earlier. Yeah, to share that risk, set the expectation, but also share the risk. Yeah, give the reassurance that the learning you generate from this is valuable. Yeah, and when you do stumble, pick up. Don't keep stumbling at the same hurdle. Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah, so find a different way how to go around it, reset. But yeah, you need leadership and you need the sort of capabilities that IPI have had on the how-to, so that you're not making the mistakes others have made in the past. You've got the ability of IPI to come and say, well, actually, based upon what we know, here's the best practice. Here's what to avoid doing. And if you do this, you're more likely to succeed.
Yeah, IPI is the coach. Dr. Z?
Thanks, David. Thanks, David. My wish or takeaway is really to make the first step. You don't have to be a very big step. Take a first step. I think one is to have a conversation with us. But if you feel that maybe you can just access our innovation marketplace to check out what's there, or even Tech Innovation, that could be a small and but a good start. And from there, we'll be happy to have further conversation with you, you know, like what David said, to share with you what can work, what may not work, depending on your budget, depending on your expectations and the culture as well. It's really a bit of hand-holding to take you through that first step.
I think it's also very reassuring for SMEs, enterprises, to have that little bit of handholding. And for those SMEs and enterprises who are listening in today, well, you've heard from Dr. Z himself. Do take the first step. Have that conversation with IPI and also, you know, have a look at the Open Innovation Marketplace and see what facets of what IPI can offer you could work for your company. So thank you so much, Dr. Z and David, for outlining the parameters of open innovation, as well as setting the scene for the rest of the episodes in this Future Pulse podcast series. I think the elements of good open innovation include and are not limited to finding complementary capabilities. That's what we've been hearing a lot about today, and also finding those common goals between your partners and your company. And for those who are still contemplating whether this is the right journey or the process for you, well, it's time to view open innovation as an accelerator for your innovation journey. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you both, Dr. Z and David.
It's our pleasure as well.
I'm Yvonne Chan. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time for another exciting and insightful episode.